Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Banking the Billionaire by Max Munro. Narrated by Jeremy York and Elizabeth Hart. Intro. Thatch. I'm Thatcher Kelly, Harvard graduate, financial consultant for Brooks Media and its subsidiaries, and several other Fortune 500 companies. What? It sounds familiar? Fuck that. I can't help it if Klein went first and stole all of my shit. Net worth? $1.2 billion. Yeah, perfect Klein is worth more than me, but I have my hands on a lot more things. Important things. Okay, maybe not important, but they're pussies. I have my hands on pussies. Relax, I'm kidding. Well, mostly. A man of many talents, I have more interests and jobs than you would expect. Adrenaline junkie. Jumps and falls, dives or climbs. Orgasms. If it makes the bottom fall out of your stomach and end up in your throat with a wave of pleasure for your whole body to surf afterward, I'm in. I'm built like a tree, but I'd rather do anything than just stand there. Get out. Get wild. Fucking live life. It's also probably not a surprise I'm known for going through a laundry list of women. Quite frankly, I won't fucking apologize for it. They've all meant something to me, regardless of the amount of time they've been in my life, long or short, and they've all taught me something about life or myself that I won't give back. But I've also longed for the kind of monogamy my friend Klein has had for most of my life. A person who does their best to know you in and out, and looks out for you when you can't look out for yourself. The kind of person who wants to live life to its very fullest, but wants to do it with you. Bottom line, I'm eclectic. A confusing mix of inappropriate jokes and heartfelt sentiment. You can dig and dig, and you'll still be miles from the bottom of me. At least, that had always been the case until Cassie Phillips. She's crazy and needy and borderline inappropriate at all times. But she's got the softest, untamed heart when you're someone she cares about. And fuck if that hasn't become my singularly most important goal. Mean something to the woman who already means all the things to me. Because for the guy who wants wild and commitment in the same fucking breath, you better believe it's going to be one bumpy ride. Fasten that seatbelt tight, ladies and gentlemen. This is us.
Chapter 1. Cassie. As the sun started to descend below the optical edge of the ocean and the Key West sky turned pink and orange with the last rays of the day, I snapped a few final photos before pulling my camera away from my face. 12 crazy hot male models frolicked in the sand, their muscles wet from the water and their tight bodies clad in nothing but next summer's swim line for an up-and-coming New York designer by the name of Frederick LaHue. Yeah, it was a really tough life I was living. All right, boys, I think we can call it a night, I announced as I got to my feet and dusted the sand from my knees. Great work today, everyone. If you're thirsty, which I know most of you lushes are, meet me at Sloppy Joe's. Drinks are on me. The models and staff cheered, and I grinned. Consider this motherfucking shoot finished, I exclaimed, to a chorus of resounding hoots and hear-hears as I headed toward the tent and hooked my camera up to my laptop. Hundreds of photos loaded onto the screen, and their tiny thumbnails begged to be clicked. Doing as their teeny beckoning bid, I clicked to select all and opened them up in my editor. I could hardly contain my excitement as I caught sight of some of the raw shots I had managed to capture. It had been a long day, toiling from sun up until sundown. But after I worked my editing magic, I knew Frederick would get a big old-fashioned boner over the plethora of sexy photos he'd have to pick from. I grabbed a bottle of water from the makeshift snack table and, upon my return, found my assistant Olivia scrolling through the photos on my laptop. She glanced up from the screen and grinned. "These are fantastic, Cass." "Thanks. I think Frederick is going to be really happy with them. He loves a good bare-skinned man huddle. But who doesn't?" Olivia smirked and continued clicking from one photo to the next. She had been my assistant for a few years now, and I'd grown fond of our working relationship. Not only was she a good friend, but I'd felt compelled to take her under my wing and teach her everything I knew about photography. She had the raw interest, and with my help on the technicalities and work ethic, I hoped that one day I'd eventually help her make the big jump from assistant to photographer. Joshua, one of my favorite makeup artists, and a pathological flirt, peeked over Olivia's shoulder and then nudged her out of the way with his hip. It didn't take his nosy ass long to start scrolling through my personal collection. "Wait, what is this? I don't remember this shoot." An entire album of Klein, Thatch, and Wes's rugby team filled the screen and glinted like horny glitter off the apex of Joshua's eye. I smiled at the memory of taking those photos a few weeks before Klein and Georgia's wedding. We had stopped by the boys' practice before grabbing dinner, and needless to say, Hotman playing rugby made me thankful I'd had my camera with me that day. Joshua pointed to a picture of Thatcher. The jolly green giant's tall frame was unmistakable. Perfectly defined lines and toned muscles, taking up so much space in the shot, they almost jumped right off the screen. And the only thing covering that fuck-hot body was a pair of black knit shorts. Hair wet with sweat, he was just standing there, hands on his hips, grinning like a cocky son of a bitch. "Seriously," Joshua insisted. "What is that?" "That's a thatch." "A thatch? Is that one of those new cool words like fleek or ratchet?" I shook my head and laughed. "Thatch is his name. Thatcher Kelly," I explained before muttering under my breath. Or an action? God, yeah. I stared at his photo. "I'd thatch that for sure." He sighed. "Is he single?" The question felt strange for a fraction of a second, and then the fleeting uncertainty was gone. I grinned. "Oh, yes, he's very single. I mean, he was single, so technically I wasn't lying. I was just leaving out the little detail of him not being into cock." Joshua stared at the photo for a disturbing amount of time before asking, "Can I have his number?" I didn't think twice about it. This was Thatch we were talking about, and I would gladly take any opportunity to fuck with him. "Give me your phone." He handed it over, and I happily added Thatch Squatch's number to his contacts. I chose not to think about why I had it memorized. "Damn, I need this man in my life," Joshua said, staring down at the picture on my computer screen before glancing at the number in his phone. I tilted my head to the side. "I thought you were dating someone." Joshua grimaced. "I was, but apparently I'm too clingy." "Well, fuck that guy. He sounds like an asshole." "Yeah," he muttered. "An asshole I was in love with. Hell, I'm still in love with him. I wish my heart would get the memo and forget he ever existed." I shook my head in sympathy. But empathy? That was undeniably missing. "Man, oh man, love sure is a bossy bitch, isn't she?" Joshua chuckled. "Wise words from the girl who never settles down." I smirked. "Maybe I'm a bigger bitch than love." He glanced down at his phone again, and then his eyes lit up. "Fuck it. I'm about to YOLO and call this sexy motherfucker." Before I had the chance to stop him, which probably wouldn't have mattered because, yeah, I wasn't going to miss this, he was tapping Thatch's number on the screen and putting his phone on speaker. 3 rings later, and the deep voice my pussy would gladly flock toward filled the room. Thatch. Is this Thatcher Kelly? Joshua asked with a smirk, his eyes meeting mine. I probably should have felt bad about throwing Josh to the proverbial wolves, but man, it was hard not to get a sick amount of enjoyment out of what was about to go down.
You got him,
Thatch responded. Business and bossy and hot as fuck. My pussy made a bid to crawl out of my pants. Oh, shit. Do not get excited, you flirty little bitch, I told her. This phone call is about laughing, not boning. Hi, Thatcher. My makeup artist turned sexual siren purred into the phone. My name is Joshua, and we have a mutual friend.
And who might that mutual friend be?
Thatch asked, open but wary. I knew he was a fairly private person despite his boisterous personality. Cassie Phillips. Thatch chuckled, deep and throaty, and my nipples pebbled.
Yeah, I know Cassie.
Apparently based on their general non-reaction, I was the only one feeling like he meant no in the biblical sense, and I was the only one who knew he didn't know me like that. She happened to show me some pictures she had taken of you, and I got a...
Cassie has a picture of me on her camera?
Oh, yeah, baby, she sure does. You're shirtless, and I can't deny I'm interested.
You're interested?
Thatch's voice was laced with confusion. Yes, I'm very interested. And Cass happened to mention you were single, and, well, I'm single. I think we'd hit it off. So I was wondering if you'd like to grab a drink sometime.
And Cassie told you this was something I'd be interested in?
Joshua's gaze shot to mine, but he kept his composure on the phone. Not in so many words, but yeah. A soft chuckle filled the receiver.
Well, Joshua, it's a pleasure to talk with you, truly, but I've got a bit of a problem with this scenario.
Oh? His voice was dejected. And what would that be?
I'm kind of in love with the set of talking tits, and the owner of said Mystic Wonders is pretty fucking head over heels for my cock.
I'm not in love with your cock, teabag, I responded, and Josh's and Olivia's eyes aimed right at me. Joshua stared at me for a few seconds and then flipped me off.
You are a bigger bitch than love,
he told me with an amused grin, handing me his phone and whispering into my ear.
You totally want to get thatched, you little floozy, and don't think I'll forget about this anytime soon. You owe me, Phillips. You owe me big.
I laughed and shook my head. Nah, I just like fucking with him. And how big are we talking here?
A new boyfriend with a 10-inch snake coiled inside his pants.
10 inches? My eyes went wide. You can take that much?
Oh, yeah. My deep throat game is strong,
Joshua winked.
And you're a liar, by the way. You want that big bed man between your thighs,
he added in a whisper before heading toward the other tent to clean up. I switched the phone off speaker mode, and Thatcher's deep voice filled my ear.
You know you don't have to create these elaborate pranks just to hear my voice, honey. The subscription messages and now this? Seems like a lot of extraneous effort when you can call me any fucking time.
Bye, Thatcher, I said in dismissal, feigning annoyance, even though I was anything but annoyed. Thanks to the photo and Thatch's throaty fucking chuckle, I was too busy picturing him driving his big train through my tunnel.
Be good, Cassie.
I'm always good. He laughed.
I'm having a hard time believing that. Tell Joshua I appreciated the call and the offer, and if I wasn't into pussy, I would have taken him out for a nice dinner, some drinks, and then back to my place so I could fuck his brains out.
You paint such a pretty picture. Are you sure you don't want to give him a shot? Who knows? Maybe you'll love the D.
You think?
He asked, audibly playing along, even though we both knew when Thatcher Kelly pounded something, it was pussy. I let you kiss me, so stranger things have happened. His voice dropped a few octaves.
You wearing a bra right now?
What does that have to do with anything?
you wearing a bra or not wearing a bra always has everything to do with everything. It's literally never off topic. I shook my head and glanced down at my t-shirt. This shouldn't surprise you, but no, I'm not. If there was one thing Thatcher Kelly loved, it was my boobs. For all I knew, he had a fan club dedicated to the mounds on my chest. Yeah, I'm hard at that visual. It's safe to say I'm straight as an arrow. Put your boner away, Thatcher. Come help me, he dared. That's a lovely offer, but I'm not in New York. Where are you? Key West. And when are you coming home? Not for another couple of days, I answered honestly. You should call me when you're back in town.
Oh, I should? And why would I do that?
Because you can't stop thinking about me. I stared out toward the darkening blue sea. I couldn't deny he was slightly correct on that front. Almost 2 months ago, we had spent an ungodly amount of time together while watching Klein and George's cat, while they banged like bunnies in Bora Bora on their honeymoon. The cat watching had turned to cat searching when Walter had gone missing for a few days, and somehow during that debacle, Thatcher Kelly had started to grow on me. I'd even found myself occasionally calling him or sending him random text messages just to see what he was up to. It was all very unlike me, and I was starting to wonder if I just needed to fuck him out of my system. I don't know about that, I answered with a skeptical tone. I mean, I just saw the new Superman movie, and I've been using up a lot of brain power on Henry Cavill fantasies.
I'm down for role-playing, honey. I'll even put a cape on my cock if that's what you're into.
Well, that was a hot visual. But how would I blow you?
You wouldn't. I'd be too busy with my mouth on your pussy. We'll save the blowjob for our second date.
God, he was the king of one-upping. It probably should have annoyed me, but it didn't. I got far too much enjoyment out of bantering back and forth with him. Have you been Googling pickup lines again? I teased.
With great penis comes great responsibility, honey.
I laughed at that. God, that's awful.
Fuck me if I'm wrong, but I know you want me to kiss you again.
Yeah, so he had kissed me. Once. I was pretty sure it was used to shut me up, but it didn't leave a bad taste in my mouth. Though it had pissed me off when he acted like that kiss was a game. I wasn't normally sensitive to that shit, but I'd been fully invested in the moment until he'd taken me out of it, the bastard. I'm hanging up now, he laughed.
Fine, fine. Call me when you're back in town.
I'll consider it.
You'll consider it? He repeated. Well, fuck. That's a hell of a lot better than the last time I told you to do that.
My eyebrows quirked up. What did I say the last time?
That you'd slap me in the dick.
Don't worry. I'll find a way to accomplish both. His deep chuckles were the last thing I heard before hanging up the phone. Only then did I realize I'd expressed my intent to see him, because no matter how I planned it, dick slapping was an in-person kind of thing.
Chapter 2. Thatch. 40 years of my parents' marriage and 35 years of my own life history had brought me here, back to my hometown, Frog's Neck, New York. My parents were the picture of everything I wanted in a marriage when it came to commitment, and celebrating so many years of their love for one another tonight had been a seriously special experience. They were the best kind of people, loving and loyal and fucking honest to a fault. But I hated being back here in my hometown. The looks people gave me and my parents never having faded, even after this many years. Perception is the ultimate example of it is what you make it. Unfortunately, what people made it sometimes lacked basis in the truth. I knew I shouldn't have come here to the local watering hole after the party. I should have remembered the past and toasted to the future in the privacy of my childhood home instead. But I hadn't. And now, as the door opened to reveal one of my most negative high school memories, I had to face the consequences. "Hey, Ryan, you see who's here?" Johnny Townsend asked his friend, Ryan Fondlin. I'd spent so many of my younger years despising Johnny that even the sound of his name made my blood pump faster. That was probably the half-baked reason John from Bad Rugby and I couldn't seem to get along. Bad was the rugby team Klein, Wes, and I played on during the week, and the basis of our ridiculous nickname, the Billionaire Bad Boys. The team was aptly sponsored by and named after Wes's restaurant, Bad. It was a terrible fucking name for a restaurant, but hell if Wes wasn't profiting. It probably helped that he owned an NFL team and drew in the professional athlete crowd. John was on that team, and I couldn't deny we spent far too much time tossing jabs at one another. Shit. I probably needed to try not to be such a prick next practice. "Johnny," Ryan attempted to interrupt, but it was no use. Ryan had always been the well-meaning sidekick to Johnny's insensitive ways, and it pained the fuck out of me to see them both singing the same tune after this many years. It's one thing for boys to be boys, but it's quite another for men to act like them. "I almost couldn't believe my eyes. A big shot like Thatcher Kelly at the Sticky Pickle? Seems odd to me," Johnny prodded, trying to incite a rise out of me. He'd been pushing my buttons since I was an overweight freshman just trying to survive high school. I'd never been insecure, but he'd been all too happy to try to make me that way. The tables had only turned when 2 years, a foot of height, and 50 extra pounds of muscle on my frame made them. "Cool it, John," Ryan suggested, directing. "Have a seat and get a drink," before turning to me. "Hey, Thatch," Ryan greeted me with a grimace, settling onto the stool next to mine and keeping himself between Johnny and me. A smart move. But that didn't stop Johnny from looking over me closely as Ryan spoke. "How are things?" "Pretty good," I told Ryan honestly. But I kept it short in an attempt to make this interaction as painless as possible. I took a pull of my beer. I wasn't normally that big a fan of Coors, but tonight it seemed to be going down smoothly. "Been a while since you've been around," he went on. "Yep." "And you're okay with that?" he asked, and Johnny scoffed. "Of course he fucking is. Too good for places like this." My jaw ticked, but I did my best to ignore Johnny and focus on getting through the conversation with Ryan. "Yeah, I see everyone I want to regularly. My parents come up, and Frankie's in the city." I shrugged. "Frankie," John said derisively under his breath, and I started to get really fucking annoyed for the first time tonight. "Fucking watch it," I warned as I pushed off my stool. The sound of it scraping across the wood floor pulled the attention of several nearby patrons. Ryan immediately stood up between us. "He's just having a bad night, Thatch. Recently divorced, and his wife won custody today," he whispered. Forcing my pounding heart to slow, I sat back down on my stool and flagged the bartender to close out my tab. Safe to say, going out for a relaxing drink was no longer anything but stressful. "How is Frankie these days?" Johnny asked, undeterred. I tried my best to take Ryan's information to heart and ignore him, and get the goddamn bartender to hurry up. The faster I got out of here, the better. "Fucking shut up, dude," Ryan advised as I towered over them. I'd never been meek, but now I was the exact opposite of meager. At 6'5 and 250 pounds, I was practically double their size. "He stays away, too," Johnny continued. But I guess I wouldn't come home if I were him either. A fucking scumbag pig in his own shit, clinging to the coattails of the guy who killed his fucking sister just to keep his crappy business afloat. Johnny stood up from his stool as my blood boiled, and he rounded on Ryan to get in my face, a slimy smile on his. His smarmy voice dropped to a knife-like whisper. "Tell me, Thatch, how does it feel to get away with murder?" I watched as a drop of blood ran from the raw split in my knuckles and dripped to the concrete floor. One and done, I'd knocked old Johnny clean out with a half-hearted swing of my fist. And now, here I was, in the cold, concrete confines of an 8x10 cell. As far as the eyes of the law were concerned, the one hit wasn't that much of a problem, but the bar brawl that ensued between everyone else sure was. I guess in an old, quiet town like this, entertainment value could be found nearly anywhere, even in an unlikely and unfounded opportunity for a fight.
"Kelly!"
Sheriff Miller yelled, startling me from my focus on the ground.
"One phone call!"
I nodded with a polite, "Yes, sir," and got up from the bench in the holding tank to exit the cell. Sheriff Miller looked on while one of his young deputies opened the sliding door. His eyes held disdain, and I, frankly, couldn't blame him. I'd caused him more than enough problems in the years before leaving Frog's Neck, and now, my first night back after half a decade, I was his problem again. Still, he respected my parents, something I couldn't say for a lot of the small-minded people here, so I did my best to appeal to that. "I'm sorry about this, Sheriff."
"Right," he said through a chuckle. "I'm sure you are. I can't imagine expensive suits are comfortable jail attire."
I filed that away and kept my cool. His eyes changed when mine didn't. A flicker of begrudging respect, perhaps. "No, sir. I'm just sorry I'm in here, keeping you busy in the middle of the night. No matter what somebody says, I should be able to keep my cool at 35 years old. That's why I'm apologizing."
"Margot's a pretty big sore spot, I imagine," he murmured, showing he knew the real reasons behind everything, no matter how much he actually witnessed. That's what made him a good sheriff.
My high school girlfriend, Margaret, Margot to most, died on a weekend away with me. I'd been the only one there to witness the whole horrible thing. Honestly, I'd moved on from it. Not her death, and not what I'd witnessed, but the whole life-changing aspect of it. I didn't carry it with me into everything I did, and I certainly didn't spend my time worrying over something I knew I wasn't responsible for. Small-minded people apparently had a lot more time on their hands. But being accused of something so horrendous never becomes routine, and I still hadn't figured out exactly how to keep it from besting my patience. That was why I usually stayed away. I hated that my first trip back in years had ended so predictably.
"Yes, sir," I answered honestly. "Make your phone call," he ordered, gesturing toward the lone payphone. Fuck. It was safe to say technology wasn't helping me now. I didn't know anyone's number by heart other than my parents. Well, I knew one. I laughed to myself at the reason I knew it.
"The last four digits spell out Cass now." My memory of a single late-night phone call with a tipsy Cassie Phillips set in my head. "How fucking great is that?"
Fucking ridiculous is what it was. But yeah, that wasn't happening. "Sheriff,
What? He snapped.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?